going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Round one of the draft in the books. We're going to talk plenty of draft, obviously, throughout the show today.
But you want to lead with Jack Caglione right field yesterday, right?
I figure we're going to start with Jack Caglione today. Start with discussing him playing right field.
A necessary step for him to eventually get to the big league.
We'll start with that. I figure we'll just start with, you know, NIL legislation today. Just go through all that kind of stuff the first hour of the show. Then we'll get to the draft.
Or I'm fine to call an audible if you guys want this show just this one time and talk about the fact that the Chiefs traded in the first round, managed to stay in the first round, and still select a player that was mocked to the Chiefs 700,000 times. So, look, we can... Plenty of mocks were wrong last night in which player went where to who.
Yeah.
But for kudos to the, 800 million of you that correctly mocked Joshua Simmons to the Chiefs. He ended up going there.
He did. You know, the noise we want, was the noise real? Like the noise that the Chiefs love this player, that if they had an opportunity to take him, would they? And for about 15 minutes or so, I'm sure we all had the same thought. Like, well, once I got to pick 28, you're like, well, he's going to be there. We're about to find out if that was real or if that was a smokescreen. If they end up taking Luther Burden or if they take somebody else, we're going to find out that, that noise wasn't real or that the medicals were disastrous or something like that. Well, we all know that wasn't the case. They ended up taking Joshua Simmons to be a tackle for this team. I say a tackle because I have no idea if he's going to be a left tackle or a right tackle and win. And that's what makes this a really intriguing pick. Now, yesterday we did the exercise on the show of our dream pick, but from a player perspective, but scenario knowing the noise around Simmons. And I think our social media, I think Drew or somebody put it up on our social media yesterday afternoon, which was, hey, if you don't have to trade up for Simmons and he's there at 31, that would be a dream scenario. The player that supposedly you love and you don't have to give up draft capital. And
you got a fifth round pick.
You got a free fifth round pick is kind of how you look at it. By moving back one spot, the Eagles were probably concerned a team was going to trade in front of them maybe to get the Campbell kid or something like that. But that was a masterclass from Brett Veach in order to get another fifth round pick and give them an opportunity if they want to pick in the fifth round, or maybe it helps them move up four spots or something, or three spots in the second or third round later on tonight. But Josh Simmons, one sack allowed since 2023, 601 pass block snaps. The narrative around him, of course, centers around health. And that's where it starts. Because in terms of performance, most people you will talk to that are quote-unquote experts will tell you, this is one of the best tackles you could have drafted. But the injury is a huge part of the story. A patellar tendon injury that occurred in October. He did not play during the college football playoff. He did not play in the game, obviously, when they won a national title with Ohio State or anything like that. The question is, how much faith do you have in the faith that the Chiefs have in the medical staff? Right? Because the Chiefs last night said that Josh Simmons, after talking to Rick Burkholder, the Chiefs trainer who's been with Andy Reid going back to his Philadelphia days, clearly trusts him. They've had great track record with evaluating guys in the draft. Trey Smith, most notably, right? Hey,
that's
there's
the
concerns.
Most recent one, yeah.
There's concerns,
sure.
and it obviously worked out. You know, you go back to the Eagles day that Kurell Buckholter, I believe, was the running back for the Eagles who had a similar injury, and it turned he didn't play in 5-6 years for the Philadelphia or in the league, and they were able to recover. Now each player is different, but you. By making this selection, are telling everybody you have ultimate faith in your medical team and that he's going to be able to recover from a pretty serious injury, and you're banking on the fact that when he recovers, we got a steal. That's the optimistic way.
Yes.
That's what they're hoping for.
That's what they're telling you
yeah.
with making this
that,
selection.
That's what they're hoping. You and I said for weeks that the risk is definitely there, but after starting five different left tackles in the Super Bowl, talk about throwing numbers at a position. This is how you do it. You sign Jalen Moore, who, by the way, is expected to join us perhaps in 25 minutes on the show, and you go and spend your first round pick on a tackle. And they did it.
So the way I view this is, and I told you as early as yesterday, I wasn't going to come in here and try to pretend like I am A++++++ on this deal. This deal boils down very simply to kind of the way you structure it, which is, it's got, I think, a 50-50 bust potential, which is risky, very risky, with pick 32 overall. I'm not trying to pretend like it's not. It is, however, a risk I would personally take. And the reason why is for all the stuff we talked about. Left tackle's very hard to find. It's hard to find at 32. It's hard to find at 31, where they were originally. It's just not an easy position to draft at the position they're typically at. It's not easy to find in free agency. If you do find it in free agency, it costs a gajillion dollars. So, like, it is incredible. It's incredibly risky.
Sure.
But again, had you put me in that position based on the defensive linemen who were already gone, I'd have done the same thing. I would have also taken Simmons. And so I'm not here to tell you, like, it's definitely going to work. But my stance still says, which is what I told you yesterday, too, which is if you take a guy at 32 overall in the first round, and you're telling me, let's just presume health for the moment, because they're telling me he might work out in the summer and he'll be good to go by training camp. I think there might be a little gray in there, and they're just telling you that. But let's just presume health for a minute for this conversation. He deserves, if you take him at 32, the right to compete, to start at right or left tackle immediately. He deserves to beat out Jawan Taylor or beat out Jalen Moore today, starting now. And I know that the Jawan Taylor one is a longer shot probability. But if you take someone at 32 at left tackle and you saying he's healthy, he deserves to try to win the job immediately.
Yeah, so if he's actually healthy. But I'm still very skeptical that he's going to have the health to fully compete for either job by the time you and I are up in St. Joe. And I fully understand Andy Reid and Brett Veach both said last night that they expect him. And I think Andy Reid specifically said he'll definitely be ready for training camp.
Firm.
I hope that's the case. That would be incredible news, by the way. Incredible news. But also, we have seen for multiple organizations before where they'll draft somebody, say they'll be ready for camp, and then you and I are sitting up in St. Joe, and all of a sudden it's like, well, we like what we're seeing, but, you know, we're not going to rush this thing, you know? We're gonna be patient with this thing, and all of a sudden he's on the pup list the first 6 weeks of the season. I'm just saying, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked that's the case. Now, to your point about this starting job, if he actually is healthy and he's able to be 100% rep-wise in St. Joe, I think competing with Jalen Moore, absolutely. I think the reality, though, we can say, like, you shouldn't operate this way. That's fine. But the reality is, at right tackle, Jawan Taylor in 2025 is playing right tackle for this team. $28 million cap hit is why I feel like I can say that with ultimate confidence that Jawan Taylor is week one. Now, week 12, Cody, Jawan Taylor's not playing well. Different story. You're halfway through the season. Josh Simmons is even more progressed through his injury. But I will be shocked if Jawan Taylor is not the starting right tackle week one of this 2025 season.
I don't think that that's out of line, but I also think that it'd be foolish not to let him win the job. It's a sunk cost fallacy. He is going to get paid $28 million one way or the other. So for me, if I'm the Chiefs front office, if Simmons is better, he plays. I got to pay the $28 million whether Jawan Taylor plays or not. So if Simmons is the better right tackle, play him there. I'm sorry. If Jalen Moore is the better right tackle.
As you would admit, that's just usually not how this thing goes, man. Just usually not how teams operate. Like, people will bring an example. Well, Deshaun Watson's not playing. He's making X amount of money. He's hurt. Kirk Cousins, he's sitting on the bench. He's making a lot of money. He's about to get traded. So it's not the same. There are not many examples of actually heading into week one. Not that you get benched in the middle of the season. I'm acknowledging that could happen. But week one, teams that have $30 million cap hit players, if that player is healthy, he's not riding the bench week one. It just doesn't happen in the NFL.
I think it's a low probability, but I don't see any. I think it'd be kind of foolish to limit yourself to only letting him try to beat out Jalen Moore.
Yeah.
And to the same argument.
Publicly, they're saying what you're saying, which is he's going to have a chance to.
Yeah, Andy Reid pretty much said that it was going to be and he mentioned Jalen Moore, right? Same rule applies. I understand your logic behind it, that it is very low times in the NFL where they pay somebody just to, like, be a problem. It happens more in other sports. It happens more in baseball or some of these other ones where it's just like, it is what it is. But it's like, truly for me, this is a very simple math. You got to pay him in either way. I want the best player to play, especially they should feel this way, in my opinion, going into this year, because it is a year where their offensive line was a massive, massive, massive problem. And now you've put even more resources into it. You pay Jalen Moore a good amount of money. You just spent your first overall pick at 32.
And that's what people wanted, the position. By the way. Like, they wanted them to attack the position.
They're doing that. So, like, now I'm saying play the best players.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get stuck in it. Like, benching him in the middle, now I'm back to what I was doing last year. I'd almost rather, if you're thinking he's going to start, he's a better player, let's just get to it. Like, I don't need to wait till week 12 and find out if Jawan Taylor or Jalen Moore are struggling. I'd rather just get to it.
Yeah, I think what it sets up is potentially in 2026 where you have more options than you've ever had. Not in 2025, but in 2026, because then you're going into a season, you would have seen a full year of Jalen Moore, in my opinion, at left tackle. If Jalen Moore plays well at left tackle this season, then they don't move him. And then Josh Simmons is the right tackle of the future.
Yeah. Him to right and then...
Yeah, if Jalen Moore struggles at left tackle, then Josh Simmons, the door, I think, is actually open. Like, right this second, the very early April 25th, just prediction, if you will, without ever seeing him put a practice jersey on is that Josh Simmons is not starting a left or right tackle week one. Still, I'm still very skeptical of that.
I think that the injury part is what probably makes the most likely scenario is that Simmons is just not on the field week one. It might be more likely he's on the PUP list than starting week one. I don't know. We'll talk to someone maybe later on in the show about some of the injury stuff, because you and I are not. And this is always I actually kind of like it about the draft. I think people knock it because it's funny. I kind of like when, like, 70 people all of a sudden are patellar tendon, like, experts. They're like, nope. My name's Billy. And I tore that when I was working at the factory. And you're like, man, I don't care. Like, you are not going through the same situation. My cousin had that surgery, and it took, I don't care that your cousin had it. I like that you're all now experts on the injury. I'm not going to pretend like I am, other than listening to the people who have medical degrees saying this is what the typical timeline injury is. The other part about it, I'd say, is my interest in getting him on the field. My hope is that the best case scenario, in my opinion, is that he wins one of the jobs from the other two guys. And the reason why I'm genuinely hoping for that is for the same reason that this pick is risky, like Kingsley was. This has higher upside. This has better potential. All those things is that I want to know if you didn't solve it long term, you know? I don't want to find out for 2 years you didn't solve right or left tackle. And I know they'll have a better sense internally, but getting him on the field's going to, like, it's going to ensure that answer more going into next year's draft. It just, I'd like the security. That's all.
The Chiefs clearly felt better once they brought him back in for a medical visit. But I'll remind people from the outside,
the way
we have talked about Joshua Simmons and draft experts talked about him without having the same medical knowledge the Chiefs have, of course, and insight, was that he was going to be a redshirt in 2025. So I want to put that out there. Like, if he doesn't play in 2025, it does not mean it is a bad pick.
We wouldn't know yet. It'd be an unknown
still.
Up until
yesterday, during the day when there were the reports, and then last night, the comments from the Chiefs, everybody thought that this was a pick that had no chance of playing in 2025. So I want to be clear. Like, that's why I'm very skeptical that he does. But if he doesn't play in 25, that the pick is about 2026 and beyond, in my opinion, not 2025.
I was getting kind of hung up because I feel like this is a common thing, and you and I have gotten into these semantic arguments that happen with, like, Drew or, like, the Masters or this stuff, and it lands in the same range. I hate operating in the hypothetical that is, well, if he wasn't hurt, he'd be picking the top five, because you can't prove that he would.
Oh, I don't know about top five. I think top 15.
But whatever. Like, you can't prove that he would have gone in the top 15. I can't prove that he wouldn't have gone in the top 15 if he's hurt. I tend to think those things are a little over-exaggerated because, again, you can exaggerate it without any – like, not you.
But you would agree, though, that if he was healthy, there's no way he's there at 32.
No, but he might be there at 22. Like, you
know, that's a 24. But that's a big difference. It's a top, almost a top 20 pick.
Sure, but, like, is that the worthy risk based on the injury? This, is, again, goes back to it. Again, this is so funny. I would make the pick.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the pick. I understand the logic behind the pick. If you're a Missouri fan or just a Chiefs offensive fan and you're like, screw it, do what the Bucks did, and I wish they would have taken Luther Burden.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Bink in 45 minutes.
It's fine. Bink, by the way.
He already has sent me two screenshots.
He texted you, too.
This was Bink's brief reaction last night.
Bink is sending me AI answers for patellar knee injury. Come on, Bink.
We can't trust Google AI. This is what Bink said last night.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Bink's going to join us at 11. Yeah, he was texting me last night. I'll have to bring up some of the things he texted when he joins me. Joins us, I should say, at 11.
Jeez.
But yeah,
Who did Bink want at 32?
Burden. Him and Chris wanted Burden. Once he was on the, that's who they wanted. And a lot of people in the bar last night at the landing wanted.
We're in Kansas City.
I understand. It's a wide receiver and the local connection.
I was doing the draft trade chart. Unless he falls into like the 50s, I don't think it makes sense for him to go up. He's gonna have to like really sink.
Correct. We're gonna talk about him individually later, but he clearly the final year at Missouri that he had.
Yeah, that sunk him.
Really just destroyed his draft prospects.
Bink sounded more disappointed than I did.
You sounded pretty disappointed. We can get to yours in a minute because it was pretty funny.
We saw your live reaction to the Bengals pick, and then you sent us a text 90 minutes later. And
I did.
It was great. It was a great text.
I was coping.
The other outside of Kansas City big storyline, though, and it continues into tonight, which is Shedeur Sanders, not a first-round pick. Now, he's the favorite in the betting markets to be the first pick tonight, but who knows, right? Surprises happen. Could Cleveland, who has two picks and four tonight. Yeah,
because of the trade they made in pick two. Yeah.
So most people think he's going with one of those first four picks, you know, one of the two of the first four picks, I should say, to the Cleveland Browns. But it's weird the way everybody's discussing Shedeur Sanders now. Like, you have one faction that is like, everybody's an idiot. What did they do?
That was Mel Kiper's faction. You can throw those. That's the Mel Kiper army. And because then, he really
And then there's another group, which is, I don't know if it's people just wanted to be proven right, or it's for whatever reason, people just are very anti Shedeur Sanders. They don't like him and his dad. Cause I got texts from a friend or two last night. You guys acknowledged that you saw it on social media as well. One of the texts I specifically got was, man, I love seeing Sanders not get drafted. And I don't get that. I really don't. Like, maybe you think he's going to be a crappy quarterback, and that's a fair evaluation, and you just don't think he has it, whatever. But the joy that he didn't go in the first round, it says a lot more about, like, you to a certain extent. Like, if you want to say, well, he's arrogant. Spoiler, a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL are arrogant. He just said he's maybe saying and he wears it on his shoulders more. But let's be honest, you don't like Deion Sanders. That's fine. You don't like the way they operate as a family. Just be honest about it.
I never in the time watching the draft watched people celebrate a player falling. Normally, as you guys recall, when a player sinks in the draft, we show the sad photos of Aaron Rodgers or the Baker, and they're like, damn, tough day for the kid. You know, you had your dreams. You thought you were going to get taken higher. Will Levis, you got to be escorted out. They're like, boo. I know, you know, some of these teams didn't like, but like really tough to see for the kid. People seemed practically giddy that Sanders was falling in draft. Like, relax a little, man. Still a kid. Look, whether the teams, obviously there was something about it. I think it's kind of crazy that the braggadocious part was the reason why he wasn't a first round pick. And I just want to remind people that Johnny Manziel once existed and was a first round pick. There's no way Sanders is any more braggadocious or like, no way. Same. I'll give him equal if they want because of the little booth that Shedeur had like pre-built.
Legendary.
Look, right,
yeah, stuff's a bit
but
much.
But like Johnny Manziel was no different than that from that perspective. Yeah. It didn't stop teams from taking him.
Mm-hmm.
Very like even like might've been similar quarterback profile. So maybe teams have learned the lesson. I don't know. But the point is that it was weird to see it happen. I guess I assume he's with the Browns. By all accounts, the Saints don't like him. And when the Steelers passed on him at 21, I think you and I assume the same thing. Everyone assumed the same thing. Is like, they must think Aaron Rodgers is coming to town or they're going to trade for somebody they must think is coming. They're not going with Mason Rudolph. And so when they let Shedeur go past at 21, I just kind of had to assume that they'd be fine to take Shador if he like fell pretty far, but they got other quarterback plans. Browns, is that it? Is that the only team you think left? Bucks, if they're like looking for, but it'd be like the third. He's going at night, right? He's going to this, or he's going to the second round, right? Sanders, or what do you think?
Yeah.
He's going to third?
I think there's just a lot of false. Yeah. Like, I think he'll this go tonight for whatever sure. reason. Like, and this applies to non-sports as well. Like this. Like this text says, he blew off a bunch of GMs in meetings. That's already been proven to be completely inaccurate. That's not true. Shador Sanders did not ignore and say, I don't need to meet with you, sir, in general. That was some weird rumor that was floating around on social media. And like anything else, one person sees it and everybody just takes it as fact. And that's a bigger problem in a lot of ways. But that's what's happening with Sanders here. Like that's just literally as an inaccurate statement. So that's the kind of stuff what I mean. Like people have just made up their mind about him. And I'm not sitting here telling you that he's going to be a 10-year starter in the league. I also, by the way, I would have drafted him before I would have drafted Jackson Dart.
All right, rank quickly. I know we all have an opinion by now, so like I can put you on the spot and I think it's fine. Other than, God, you don't know Sanders' landing spot. I'll allow you to revise this on Monday if you want, because we'll probably have to have this conversation on Monday once you know the actual team, because team does matter. Who do you think is the better pro quarterback between the three in order? Where do you think they rank as pro quarterbacks? In their career. Yeah, okay. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Shador Sanders.
Ward, yeah. Sanders, Dart.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. We all agree. Yeah. So we all think he's going to have a better career than Dart. I'm not totally convinced Sanders won't have a better career than Ward. Now, I do think landing spot, if he lands with Cleveland, I'm hard pressed. I'll be hard pressed for a franchise that's been that bad for that long. I'm going to be hard pressed to think they finally got it right at quarterback. So, in fairness. But if he landed with like the Steelers, I might put Sanders Ward then.
I hear you.
The Browns actually did something kind of nice, good last night, believe it or not. I know Travis Hunter could be really good, but they got Mason Graham, who's going to be a freaking stud. If they get Shador, and then they potentially get Burden as well. I mean, they might have figured it out a little bit, actually, the Browns, which is disappointing for me, but.
No way. I mean, that just feels like an overshot. Browns?
If they get Shador and they get Burden tonight, if that's how it goes, if they go Burden at 33 and then Shador and Shador works out, I mean, they can kiss a lot of their problems goodbye if Shador ends up working out. Because they've got the defense already to go on and win a lot of games.
God, what a wild. Because we can get back into it, too, but like the Hunter stuff. You have to think you're playing him at both if you're making that trade.
Of course.
And that wasn't even I already saw the rumor, like Pelissero said they're going to start him in the wide receiver room and then work him in the defense back room. In fairness, wide receiver is probably harder to learn. Plus, Ryan Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, that sounds fun.
Trevor Lawrence with ETN in the backfield still, right? He's still there for one more year, isn't he?
Yeah.
Or is he gone?
No, he's still there. There were some rumors that they might be interested in Genty, so they might trade him, but obviously they were going with Hunter, not Genty. So.
Did Travis say that when he was on the phone, he got put on with both coordinators? Like, both coordinators were on the phone call?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look.
That's kind of a flex a little bit, you know?
It's a bit of a rare circumstance, right? I mean, you just don't run into these things very often. I will say, great job by Green Bay. There were 200,000 fans out there. The scene was awesome outside of the stadium.
It looked awesome, but
sure as a person, it sucked.
No, I mean, like, we've seen the aerial shots of Kansas City, Detroit last year, when it's been in other cities. This one didn't look as cool. Does that make sense? Just because it's a small town, so this was just not like...
But I guess I accept that about it in a weird way.
Amount of people, amazing. But the aerial shots, we've seen better the last couple of years. Like, Detroit looked incredible. Obviously, Kansas City looked great. I'm talking... Because it's a small town, there's no downtown, there's no buildings
There's no tall buildings with people.
They're all, like, three-story buildings, you know, just across the entire town.
I did kind of like that, though. That's what Green Bay is.
Yeah.
I think if you're a sport, you should accept, like, your different markets. And this is what the draft, I think, has done a good job. The draft has done a good job, including anybody who can't get a Super Bowl, essentially. Yeah. Hey, sorry, Lambeau. You got a 0.001% chance of ever getting a Super Bowl here. Want the draft? Want to make a scene? Historic venue? Do the thing? I liked it. I liked the setup. It looked good. That's all.
Roger Goodell, of course, got booed immediately. He now just embraces
Drew got booed
it.
At the bar last night.
Drew,
you and Roger Goodell got the same treatment.
You both did the same thing. You know, you just got to embrace it. You both pumped up the crowd as you were getting booed. Roger Goodell rode a bicycle onto the stage. Then you had
it's a Green Bay thing. I love it.
Clay Matthews, who of course played for the Packers. You had Clay Matthews go ahead and say this right as the draft was about to start.
The Bears still suck.
Love that.
Way to kick off the draft in Green Bay. Know your audience. Well done. Bears fans, obviously, not happy. But, you know, wait, so what?
It's great. Like, when you get it in your city, you're allowed to say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw people in Kansas City booed, right? We saw, like, Raiders players come up there to announce the picks. And, like, you boo them and you have a little fun. That's the whole point. Fandom is fun. That's the point of it. If they held the NFL draft at Ohio State, I would hope that, you know, a former Ohio State player would say Michigan sucks. Like, I don't know. I don't have any problem against that.
We're just getting started talking draft. We're going to keep talking about Joshua Simmons. We're going to look at who's available in the second round. We're going to take a look at the AFC West. Couple stud running backs headed to this division now. Maybe why the Chiefs should draft some defensive players today, based off of what they're going to be dealing with Ashton Jeanty and obviously Amarion Hampton, who is now with the LA Chargers. Jalen Moore is going to join us next week. We just got word on that. So Jalen Moore was scheduled to maybe join us today, but we'll talk to one of the Chiefs offensive linemen next week on the show after the draft is settled.
I promise that we are going to talk a little bit about Jack Caglione playing right field. As a reminder, we all are planning out to go watch Jack Saturday, May 3rd in Springfield. Those tickets still available at 96.5thefan.com. Through that ticket link, $10 tickets to go watch the Springfield Cardinals versus obviously the Royals affiliate, the Naturals. Right now we have 100 and the exact number, I believe, including us, 153 people actively going on the trip right now, which is going to be an awesome time. As a reminder for those who bought tickets, if you purchase the shirt ahead of time, we'll be handing those out at Harbell's 3:30 to 5. Little pregame for everybody before they head over to the stadium. And then after the game, I imagine we'll go somewhere. But 3:30 to 5 for sure pickup. They're not letting Alex and I bring in 4 boxes of shirts into the stadium. If you'd like it before the game, which I imagine you would, so I'm not just giving it to you out of the trunk of the car. Harbell's 3:30 to 5. Tickets available at 96.5thefan.com. Come join the 150 of us going to watch Jack Caglione on Saturday, May 3rd.
All right, coming up next, we are going to talk some Royals baseball briefly. Then we'll get back to the draft. Jake Eisenberg is going to join us. He does each and every Friday here on Cody and Gold. We'll get his perspective on a 4-game winning streak.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
For the Royals. We'll get back into the draft here in about 10 minutes or so, including some of the players on the board beginning tonight, rounds 2 and 3, and maybe some comments from Brett Veach. They gave us some insight where they could go tonight in rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. But the Royals had a doubleheader yesterday out at Kauffman Stadium. They've won 4 in a row. They begin a series tonight with the Houston Astros out at Kauffman Stadium. You guys, of course, hear Jake Eisenberg on 96.5, the Fan, every Friday, and of course during Royals games throughout the season. Jake, good to have you on the show, man. We were just talking, Cody and I, off air. You're from New York, right? So did you have are you a Giants fan, a Jets fan? Where's your football allegiance?
My football allegiance is obviously with the Chiefs, Alex. Come on.
Look, you can play the... Vinny's willing to admit his Jets fandom. It's okay. No.
In all truth. I grew up a Giants fan, but when the Giants won the Super Bowl when I was like 10 or 11, it honestly didn't really move the needle for me. Like, I grew up as a Mets fan, as a baseball fan, and that was the main thing. The football team that I root for the most, I was a Miami Hurricanes fan when I was growing up.
Right.
My dad went to Miami, and my uncle went to Miami, and my grandparents had tickets down at the Orange Bowl for like 25 years. So I grew up a Miami Hurricanes fan, and funny enough, like, Vinny Testaverde was like one of my guys when I was a kid because he was a Miami Hurricane, not because he was a Jet and not because my name was Vinny, but I guess Vinny and I have that in common.
You know what? Those were some fun Miami Hurricane teams when you were a kid too. Nothing
Dude,
but
NFL talent. That 2000, 2001 Hurricanes teams, Ken Dorsey and Willis McGahee and Andre Johnson. Yeah, those were my team. Devin Hester is my favorite player of all time.
Oh, you know, I got a chance to interview him once around Radio Row. Hall of Famer now? Did he get in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Good for Devin. I mean, he is the all-time greatest return man. No argument there, at least. Jake, let's talk a little baseball. The Royals, obviously, people were worried about the start to the season. And I'm not saying, like, all is fixed and problems are solved, but getting to see some offense out of the Royals, and I thought especially, weirdly enough, in the Cole Reagan start, where he has to leave early, you stepping up in that moment felt like the biggest one of the three for me, because Cole Reagans was the one you felt like you could win 1-0, but you needed the most runs out of that game.
Yeah, and ultimately the Royals scored 13 runs on 22 hits between the two games yesterday. I think this is kind of what we were talking about last week. What's more likely to continue, the Royals' struggles offensively or the Royals' really good starting pitching? And there are going to be starts along the way where a guy is going to have to leave early or another team's just going to have his number that day. And it was great to see the bullpen step up in game one. The Rockies didn't have a hit after the fourth inning of that game in game one of the doubleheader. But then what did you get in game two? You got a quality start from Michael Lorenzen. You got 6 runs on 9 hits from the offense. That's about as complete a game as the Royals have played all season. And I think that's the Royals team that we have been expecting to see and waiting to see. And now we're starting to see. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we talked last week and a couple of weeks ago, and everyone's, you know, a little bit on edge about the results so far. And yes, a 6-game losing streak, you don't like that. You don't want that. It's so early in the season. This is just game 27 tonight. And I think we're starting to see the team kind of round into form and hopefully start to come out of those offensive doldrums.
And Jake, we'll see how this weekend goes. But Salvador Perez yesterday, his performance, that might be the thing I'm most excited about out of this winning streak right now. 5-hit day, maybe that's what gets him going. What have you seen from Salvi?
Well, I mean, maybe you guys have seen some of the expected statistics that I've shared both on the air and on social. You know, the thing with Salvi is that, like, the batted ball data hasn't changed. It's just that the results have changed. And so this is what you would always expect to happen with Salvi hitting the ball hard the way he does. When he makes contact and he hits the ball hard, which he does and has been doing for a decade now, these are the types of results and the types of games you get. And so, look, 2 doubles in game 1, 2 doubles in game 2, 3 hits in game 2. Is that going to happen every single night? No. But does it have the potential to happen just about every night? Yes, and that's what makes him such a dangerous presence in that lineup.
I know some things are just statistical anomalies, and maybe this is one, but when I think it was Nick Capel put out that Salvador Perez has the highest OPS out of any player in doubleheader history with more than 150 bats. I'm like, the hell? He just likes doubleheaders more? How is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a thing or not, but like, let me ask you this. has there anybody ever that seems to enjoy playing the game more than Salvador Perez?
No. So he's just no, like, ooh, so I got to play two baseball games today. And he just
right,
decided.
Exactly. And so maybe it's just that simple. You know, just make sure you get an extra belt and you're ready to go.
Jake, I wanted to ask you about one player who I think when he got called up, a lot of it, myself included, right? We're like, I kind of seen this show. I don't know that it moves the needle much for me. Drew Waters, a player who when he came up, I thought, well, he'll be here for a little bit, but I don't know if he's long for the big league club. He has been a productive player for about a week and a half now for the Royals since his call-up. What have you seen out of Drew Waters this time versus the last time around?
Yeah, I'm just seeing a little bit of consistency and a little bit more looseness than what we saw in, and I'll say 2023, because I don't know that last year was such a good or accurate snapshot of Drew, because he came up and he only played seven games. But by all accounts, and I've talked to Nick Batters at the AAA level about this, he had a really good season at the AAA level, a really consistent offensive season from both sides of the plate and defensively at all three corner spots. And I think that gave him a lot of confidence. And one of the things he said when he got called up this year is that he was really happy and confident about the swing decisions that he was making at the plate. And while there is still some swing and miss, and there's going to be some swing and miss, I think overall we're starting to see those swing decisions bear fruit where he can kind of spray the ball to all fields. We've seen a double down the left field line. We've seen, you know, that home run to the pole side too. You know, he has a chance to be a versatile, toolsy player, which was the same kind of player that, you know, we thought he might be when J.J. Piccolo, you know, made the trade to acquire him a few years ago.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg, Royals announcer here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned Cole Reagans a couple minutes ago. Any insight there? I mean, I know some fans maybe are a little nervous seeing their ace leave the game so early.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything further other than what the Royals shared, that it was groin tightness.
Yeah, with Cole in particular, he seems like he has like the occasional here or there injury, but like the starting pitching staff in general, I guess they won't get their aces, right? They'll get Lugo tonight against the Houston Astros. What do you kind of look forward to in this series, at least, Jake, knowing that they're coming off the sweep of the Rockies and things are feeling a little bit better? Is this one of those, hey, get two out of three, and then all of a sudden you're feeling fantastic going on the road?
Well, I think you get two out of three against anybody and you feel pretty good. I think especially against an Astros team that, honestly, guys, look, it's not your, I'll say, older brother's Astros team. You know, Kyle Tucker's not there. Alex Bregman's not there. But guess who still is? Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez, and those two dudes are as dangerous as anybody at the plate. Jeremy Peña has been fantastic so far this season. And people forget, that dude was the ALCS and World Series MVP when they won it in 2022. And so this is still a dangerous team that has kind of retooled with Isak Paredes at third base, who's off to a hot start. Hayden Wesneski is a guy that I've seen a couple of times at the minor league level when he was in the Cubs organization. He's also a Houston area guy, so no doubt he was kind of invigorated to be part of that Kyle Tucker trade. Camp Smith is a wonderkin prospect who's still getting his feet wet. Even though this isn't the Astros team that lurks as the behemoth that it might have been a couple of years ago, this is still a very, very good and very, very dangerous team. Their pitching has been excellent. The offense is always right around the corner from breaking out. I think this weekend's a really good test for Royals team in facing a team like the Astros that has been there and done that year after year after year. I think this is a good test.
Jake Eisenberg will be listening tonight as the Royals begin that series against the Astros. 6:40 first pitch. That's Lugo on the bump. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys.
There you go. Jake Eisenberg every Friday, 10:30 right here on Cody and Gold. Ferns on Deck show, 5:30 tonight to get you started.
Those Miami teams were fun, man. He was that's the right kind of college team to follow there for a while. No shortage of entertainment. I mean, there was a whole Netflix 30 for 30 for probably a reason.
Well, sure.
They weren't boring. Look, the Royals are on a 4-game winning streak. And I know,
as you said, it's not everything's not fixed, but you can still acknowledge. It's so weird. Like,
winning is winning. Is that a bad thing?
Somebody texted in and says, guys, it's the Rockies. Oh, for sure. Last year, a big reason why they were able to make the postseason is they dominated lesser opponents. And this is hopefully the start of that, right? Rockies, well, they got to play the White Sox a little bit later
on. How few above 500 teams they have in the rest of April and the early May, right? Didn't you say it's like the next like 25 games?
Yeah, no. Nobody's saying everything is just fixed and solved, but if you're hoping they're going to play better baseball, it has to start somewhere, right? And they did that against the Rockies. Let's see what they do against the Astros. But I guess the wins still count against the Rockies. I don't know what we're supposed to do
with
that.
Accepting the fact that the Royals might be identical to last year in this way, where against great opponents, they're only okay. And against really bad opponents, they're just way better than them. I think there are worse places to be. I don't think that that's a bad, like you said, it got him to a playoff series and a very competitive, a one playoff series and a very competitive series, I thought, against the New York Yankees. So I don't think they were like way off base from where they needed to be. I'll take that in the early going. And they need wins right now. I don't care who they're against. Right. We talked about this. You can't afford to go five games under 500 for the next 22. And then all of a sudden you are, you know, 10 games below 500. I don't care who they beat. Wins are wins. They don't count one less anywhere. They don't count one less in the standings. They don't give you less of a trophy if you win the World Series against a worst opponent. This goes back to like the NFL playoff stuff and everything else in between. I'm just never going to apologize for wins, which is what the Royals did a lot of this week, including a doubleheader yesterday in which they got both games. You and I have talked about the first round picks kind of as ad nauseum. We're going to get back to Joshua Simmons. Binkley is calling it 11.
Oh, yeah.
Binkley, and this is not sugarcoating. Binkley hated that pick last night.
Well,
I don't know if he's softened his stance.
No, he has not.
It doesn't seem
like
it.
I don't know if he slept on it and thought, you know what, I like it okay.
I don't think he slept. I think he was researched. I don't think he slept. We're going to find out.
We'll talk about Joshua Simmons specifically again coming up here at 11. But second round's coming tonight. Yeah. Third round's coming tonight. Let's talk about the guys we want. Right now we know what's on the board. Yesterday when we were making hypothetical guesses of what we think the Chiefs might want, we didn't know what was going to be on the board. So what do we want tonight out of the Chiefs? I think we could probably start this by doing another mock
draft.
Let's
pick it up. Let's pick it up in the second round.
Pro Football Focus, should we do that?
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs, of course, have a couple picks today. Pick 63, pick 66, pick 95. So let's start it now that we know that Josh Simmons is already locked in to
make
the Chiefs.
Make sure you pre-fill the picks.
It's going to be really hard.
Mine is
PFF
pre-filled.
Does it.
Okay.
I'll be honest. Yeah. If a defensive tackle is available at 63,
right,
it's
going
to be
hard-pressed
for me not to take it. I've started mine. I'll go first this time since I've already got mine. At pick 63, I'll just be honest, the guy I picked at 63 yesterday is available.
Yeah, he is.
Omar Norman Lott is there. I'll be taking the big defensive tackle out of Tennessee. I don't even have to change my pick. I liked it yesterday for a lot of reasons. I still like it today. There are more running backs available this time around. But Quinshon Judkins was still gone. Dylan Sampson was still gone off of my board. Kyle Williams, who I know Binkley really likes, was gone. Some of the edge guys. So, like, this feels like a logical choice. I'll go with the kid out of Tennessee.
So, on mine, Norman Lott's there as well. But also, who's there? Who wasn't there at pick 31 yesterday when he did? I'm taking Dylan Sampson.
Running back. My guy, he was gone on my end. So, I wasn't able. He was actually gone quite a ways ago.
Yeah, so that would be my pick 63.
Eamonwori, Burden, all those guys are long gone. Scorton, Mike Green.
I'm making it three vaults in a row. Omar Norman Lott is available. And he just feels like the guy. I was thinking of taking somebody different, but for sake of what I think the Chiefs should do in this situation, give me Omar Norman Lott.
All right, so this is funny. Now that it comes back, you know, three picks later at pick 66, Omar Norman Lott is still on the board on mine if I wanted to take him. But I'm not going to do it because of...
You can get him as a steal,
The conversation we're having. I'm going to go wide receiver at this point in time. I hear a couple of wide receivers that are still on the board at this pick. The kid out of Stanford, also Jalen Royals, and that's where we're going to go. We're going to take Jalen Royals as the second pick in round three.
Again, I like that pick overall. This time, 66. It's still like... So here's what keeps happening to me at 66. The only running back of the three guys that I've given you of the guys that I really like, or two of them are still available, right? Damian Martinez and R.J. Harvey. But I can't decide if I want R.J. Harvey at 66. I really feel like if I don't get the Quinshon Judkins, like if I don't get one of those like premium guys that I kind of want at 63 or 66... I kind of want to wait. I feel like it's a risk.
Yeah, my only worry is I don't have a defensive lineman yet in my pick, but I didn't like who was left on the board.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I understand that. It's funny, we're going to go opposite directions in this, and I'm going to end up taking a second defensive lineman instead of taking a wide receiver or instead of taking... Was that the guy? I'm taking Alfred Collins, and we're just going to be...
He
like,
wasn't on the board for
the
me.
Defensive.
I like it.
He's like there, it. So I'm going to end up going Alfred Collins with my next pick, so... Until I'm going to hope R.J. Harvey or somebody at running back is available.
A-plus body type for Alfred Collins.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to hope some running back's available.
You were debating running back. I'm going to take a running back. R.J. Harvey is my guy. I'm taking him at 66.
Okay. So then we go to pick 95. This is round three, last pick of round three. Second to last pick, I'm sorry, of round three. Who's on the board? Who are you guys looking at?
I just ended up with Giddens again. Like, the same thing keeps happening anytime I enter these mock things. I'm not against Giddens.
Giddens not on the board, but it's like, on mine.
The only guys available for me every time I get to 95, the last two times you did this, is Giddens and Neal. I don't know if it's the way I'm drafting or the way I'm doing it. And I've told you before, I like both running backs as a talent. I like Giddens as a fit better. So after all this, Simmons, Omar Norman Lott, Alfred Collins, and DJ Giddens would be my first four. And then we can talk about some of the positions we can look at, not just our mocks. Yeah. Who'd you get in round
last
three?
One, I haven't drafted a defensive lineman. I have to at this point in time. So I'll go Elijah Roberts, the edge rusher out of SMU, as the final pick out of our mock here.
So I was debating defensive lines available, too. It's a lot of defensive guys, or it's a lot of trench guys. It's O-line, D-line. Ashton Gelada is still there. I picked him yesterday in the third round. Give me Ashton Gelada again, edge rusher out of Louisville.
So last night on the press conference, and we can play you some of the audio later of what Simmons said about coming to Kansas City and how much work they did on him, what Brett Veach said about the player. But in talking about the rest of the draft, he specifically mentioned these players. Leave a draft. We wanted to leave a draft with offensive linemen, or it's good protocols, what he said, to leave any draft. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, corners, and wide receivers. One of those boxes is checked.
Yep.
What are the – so tackles covered. I'm not saying they can't take another offensive lineman, but I'll be honest, it better damn sure not be tonight. You have spent a lot of money and draft pick capital at center, at tackle, at guard. We're good. You're good for now. Because right now it's a first-round pick, or depends on how you look at it. It's either your biggest free agent signing or a first-round pick at left tackle. It is a second-round pick at left guard. It's a second-round pick and a high-priced one at center. It's a sixth-round pick but now high-priced at right guard. And – the most money at right tackle in the NFL at Juwan Taylor. So, like, I don't think you need to spend your second or third round picks tonight on offensive line. I am interested. Defensive line has to be one of the three picks. I think running backs should be one of the three picks. If it's not running back, I want a wide receiver.
Yeah, we're going to find out how confident they are in the cornerbacks that they have, knowing that not many are under contract after this year. Could that be one of the first picks that they make tonight? I hope it is an edge rusher, an interior defensive lineman. I also think the more we watch what happened in the AFC West last night with a couple of running backs go off the board and Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton going to the Chargers there, you've got to find a way to also stop the run. And how good do you feel, guys, about the interior of the Chiefs defensive line right now? I'm a little worried about that. So I would look defensive line and maybe even interior. But as we just went through the mock draft process just for fun, depends who's on the board, right? You don't want to reach for somebody just because you like there's not a have to take defensive line with the first pick tonight. But at some point tonight, I think they need to. But if there's a better player available, a corner you didn't think was going to be there with your first pick this evening, I don't hate it. It truly is like, hey, without knowing who's going to be available in that moment. So all of those positions are on the table. I also am with you, though, that running back tonight would not surprise me and should not surprise anybody.
The fifth round pick changes the calculus a little bit. Now that we're not doing these mocks out, Drew, I don't know how many mock drafts we did where they didn't have a fifth. The thing I desperately want to know about this, and they're not going to answer this for us, is did they want that fifth? Because that fifth, if you do the trade chart math on it, it would make a lot of sense to trade up from that 95 spot in the third round. In the middle of the third is what that fifth could do you. Like, it can't move
you're
you
saying
up.
It could buy you a couple extra spots to get a Jack Sawyer or to get an edge rusher if you want one. Unless, or to get a wide receiver.
Yeah, unless you were willing to trade future draft picks into next year. It can't really move you up into the range. Like, I know what Chiefs fans want to do. They want to go from 63 tonight to 40 and take Luther Burden. Fifth round pick won't do that. One of your thirds will get you close. Your 66th pick?
You're saying you pair 66 and you pair...
Or not even the fifth. You pair fifth. 66 with a third next year is what would get you there, Drew. And then you still have... a second tonight, you get to move up in the second to get the guy you want high, right? You still have a third round pick and a fourth round pick, but now you don't have to wait until the seventh. You can take another one in the fifth. Have more of a traditional draft. I feel like that's a movement piece.
They still have all their sevens, that pick? Right?
Say again, Drew?
Yeah, they have all their sevens.
I wonder, not that the
maximum sevens.
Not that the Rams would want to do it again, but where did the Rams move back to again in the second
40
round?
40-something with the Falcons pick, like 45 or something like that?
47? So if Burden somehow is available, I don't think he'll be available 45, but I was just thinking in terms of teams that is because the Vikings are too far down because they could use some
feels
more
like
picks.
I think Burden's going to be one of the first five players taken tonight.
I wonder if you gave up 63 and 66 and a seventh.
I don't think they needed. Like, I don't think they needed to do that. They're not that desperate.
63 would move you up in the draft trade chart, but I wouldn't do that.
Like, if we weren't in Kansas City,
it's only one extra pick you're giving away.
I don't think we'd be. Maybe I'm off on this.
Technically,
I don't think we'd even be entertaining what you're saying, trading up for Byrne if we weren't in Kansas City. And Byrne went to Mizzou. I'm just being honest.
I'd be interested in a wide receiver, and I still think trading he's a really talented
trading multiple
one.
Picks to go get one. I don't think they're in a position where they need to do that.
Yeah. That's the tough part. I don't think I'd risk it either, but I still am surprised he fell.
Yeah.
Like, the measurables, like, the way that
the year that he had.
Awful, like, final year.
Who was his quarterback for 80% of the year in Missouri?
I think we all agree
with that. But 6 months ago, it has to be about this year, because 6 months ago, he was pretty much a consensus top 10, 15 pick. and now he's going to be in the first 5 or 10 picks tonight. I think that's probably where we would all agree we would think. I mean, every year there's a player that just keeps sliding and sliding and sliding. And where's that floor for Burden? Is it at pick 37 or 38? Or is it all of a sudden that he's in the 40s? I would be surprised. But a lot of people are probably surprised that he's still on the board tonight. So
I guess that's a question. If you let's say you make Drew's trade scenario, 66 and 63. You trade both your third round picks. And no, that'd be your second and third round pick.
Second in the Tennessee.
Is there a player left currently in the draft you would make that move for?
I mean, if Mike Green is somehow available at 40, I would swing and hit. I would swing as fast as possible.
You'd actually get a pick back. It looks
I don't
like
want to do it for
Mike Green at 40.
I wouldn't do it for a wide receiver. I don't think they're in a position where they desperately have to go get one. Yeah. I know running back is always touchy for people, but if somehow Travion Henderson or somebody like that fell to the middle of the second round, I'd be interested. The problem is, I think there's a ton of depth at running back. That's another position. Do I need to actually trade up? So when Drew mentioned a name, I don't think he'll be available, but maybe edge rusher would be one of the few positions I'd be okay with them trading up to get. I don't think they need to make a big 15 spot jump. That's giving away too much.
I just like this goes back to the draft. Now that we're looking at it, I think that there's still 30 guys who are worthy of second round grades on the board. Like, that's where my reservation about trading up is, Drew.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the board and you're like, all right, here are the players that I'm like, damn, they're still available. All of these guys, Will Johnson, Mike Green, Eamon Worry, Luther Burden, Shadur, and that won't impact it, but that's a player that's going to go, I think, before Kansas City. I thought Shamar Turner was just as good as the guy your Cincinnati Bengals took last night, so he's available.
Scorton.
I can just keep going, right? I didn't even mention Judkins, who I like is the best running back available left on the board.
Or Henderson,
based on the thing we just had. And the Ohio State edge player, right? I can't ever pronounce his name.
J.T. Tuimoloau.
Yeah, he's also one of the guys that people have mentioned. Like, so once I start going through the list, I'm like, I'd almost be fine with any of the players I just mentioned, except for, like, Sanders, right? A player that doesn't make sense.
Seriously,
I don't know that I want to trade
out. You don't think there's a player that would be worth that sort of a squeeze?
If you're using some of those picks, I think it makes the most sense to take that fifth round pick and move up again in the third and then get like four of the top 80 players,
So to trade 95 and whatever pick you have around five is to get to 80.
Okay. That was the best part. Like, take all that, and we'll talk with Binkin here in a minute. The Simmons trade and why you and I would both do it, even if I've got reservations about the injuries and everything else. Getting that free fifth round pick from the Eagles,
I mean, I don't know. Masterclass.
It doesn't mean you're going to get the pick right. It doesn't guarantee you that you're, but like,
free pick.
All he said was, are you taking offense or defense? He's like, we're taking a defensive player. Cool, you're fine. Yeah, sure, I'll take the fifth. Like, sounds good to me. And both the Eagles and the Chiefs did the identical thing for positions of need. They both took a person who reportedly would have gone a whole hell of a lot higher if it wasn't for a very serious injury. You know why? Because they were the Super Bowl last year. They can take chances like that. That's a whole other part of this equation.
Yeah, and we're going to find out how they utilize it. I mean, you can look at it as a free pick. You can look at it as, hey, the DeAndre Hopkins trade last year didn't cost them anything because they're getting a fifth-round pick back. Remember, they gave up a fifth-round pick with the D-Hop trade. So either way.
So that trade was free? Actually, they moved up. They got to move up like 15 spots for taking on DeAndre Hopkins for half the year.
Yeah, when they traded down, I think initially people thought they like traded out the first round. They only traded out one spot. One spot, and they still got the guy they clearly wanted. And all the talk for weeks was true. Like, sometimes it's smokescreen. It was true. Like, all the smoke about the Chiefs wanting Josh Simmons and trading up or not trading up and just believing that the medicals are going to check out, they weren't bluffing. He was there, and they obviously took him. Let's talk about Josh Simmons some more. Jay Binkley, our draft insider, he did a great job with Christian Ocero last night at the landing, but he is not happy with the Chiefs' pick. He'll tell us why next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.